So anyways, good morning, church. It's great to be here with you another week. And last week we started talking about being real and what it means for us to be real to ourselves, be real with God, admitting our feelings of guilt and shame about our past shortcomings, because those feelings can hold us back from what God has best for our lives. And that's really our focus this week. Have you ever done something embarrassing? Maybe you've done something where you just, I don't want to show my face in public ever again. Maybe you're walking down the street one day and you see someone across the street wave, and so you wave back, and only to realize as soon as your arm reaches the apex, it's, oh, they're not waving at me. They're waving at somebody else. And so you're just like... Then you got to take the long way around because they happen to be walking the same direction as you, so you take the long way so you don't have to follow them or see them again. And that's just, that's kind of a goofy thing. But what if your embarrassing moment was a little less public and a little bit more secretive? Like so secretive that you wouldn't want somebody else to know, that you would be ashamed if somebody else would hear about it or know about it. Like maybe you were up late one night and you began clicking on a website and watching some videos that you knew you shouldn't be watching. Maybe it's when you took something from your brother and then lied to your parents about it. Maybe it was the time that you secretly cheated on an exam to get a better grade or broke the rules to win an important game. Even though your choice may have seemed justified at the time, when you reflect upon it now and you find yourself replaying that moment over and over again in your mind, you wish that you would have made a different choice. Guilt, shame. For many of us, these have been constant companions for us in our lives. In fact, according to some research from Rutgers University, it says that as soon as we're old to recognize the difference between right and wrong and realize that our words and actions have hurt someone else, we are all subject to guilt and to shame to some varying degree. Research among children shows that about 15% of children being shame prone. And that 15% that they were talking about in the article is the age of 2. 15% of children already know what it's like to feel guilt and shame, and can imagine that that percentage grows as we get older and older. But the good news, church, is the good news. It's Jesus, because when Jesus was our sacrifice on the cross, that his death not only frees us from death, it also has the power to free us from our guilt and our shame. And so let's take a look at our morning scripture text from Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. This is the Apostle Peter preaching. "And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders did. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent and turn back, that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed to you as the Messiah." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, just prior to our text this morning, Peter enters into the temple and he heals a man that has not been able to walk his entire life. And upon seeing Peter do this, a crowd gathers around him because they were filled with wonder and awe. They're like, "What does this guy have for us? He just healed a man who has never been able to walk." And so Peter turns to this growing crowd of people and he shares with them Jesus. And he calls out to them and he says this. He says, "Jesus, whom you have handed over and denied before Pilate, you denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life whom God has raised from the dead. We are all witnesses of this." I bet you they weren't expecting to hear that. Right? That's a gut punch. You handed over. You denied the holy and righteous one. You killed the source of life. I know if I was there this morning, I'd be like, yeah, let's find that guy and let's get him. Let's get this guy. All the while knowing that I participated in that. And while we may not have been there, let's not forget, church, that it's sin that Jesus died for. Jesus died for their sin. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. He died for the sins of the world. We are all guilty of this. And then Peter says, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the Lord. And Peter was telling everybody what they had done, you know, including handing over the Messiah to be crucified, can be forgiven. So I want to break down what Peter is saying here. Now, first of all, he says, repent and turn back. Now, the word repent means, right, to repent, to change the mind, to relent. Theologically, repentance involves sorrow and regret, and it involves a true change of heart towards God. It is an acknowledgement that you are the one that did wrong. Not God. You are the one that did wrong, and it violated the heart of God. Now, what repentance does not mean is regret, right? That you regret what you have done. Because true repentance means a change. It means a change in direction. And that's why the turn back is added. Right? You are acknowledging that you're wrong. And you are turning back to the heart of God. Anybody here ever change a light switch or an outlet or something that involved electricity? Yeah, a few of us, I'm sure. And I'm going to guess, you know, there's probably more than me that have been shocked because you turned off the wrong breaker or you just thought you could do it freehand, right? I've been shocked a couple times. I'm not sure if, you know, it's at Home Depot, you can do it, we can help. And yeah, we can help you by telling you to turn off the breaker, you know. But if you've ever been shocked, it is a feeling that will wake you up fast, right? Bzap. And it usually only takes one bzap to get me to go and turn off the right breaker. You know, maybe a guy would take two bzaps if he's up on a ladder before he goes and turns off the right breaker. But when we sin, it's usually the consequences is where we feel the bzap. And what Peter is saying in this passage is that when you get that feeling, when you get the bzap, repent and turn back. Let go. You don't need to continue holding on to what you are clinging to. It's only causing you pain. Let it go. Repent, turn back. Then he continues. And he says, so that your sins may be wiped out. So your sin is what we've just talked about, right? What you need to repent of and let go. But the next part is something that I think it's really important for us all to hear. Because when Peter says that your sin can be wiped out, that's literally what he is talking about. that your sin and my sin, the sins of the whole world, can be simply wiped out like the clearing of a whiteboard. The erasing of our sin, right? That is the literal meaning of what this Greek word is saying. It is a wiping out, an existence no more. Now here's the thing, church. It's erased. Don't go looking for it. You don't have anything to add to this act of erasing. It is a gift for you. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot be good enough for it. And so if you are carrying with you guilt and shame of sin that occurred sometime in the past, that same offer of being wiped out is available for you. Do you think you have ever done anything worse than handing over the Messiah to be crucified? Because if you do, you've got a really high opinion of yourself. Because if you've done the prerequisite work, if you have repented and turned away, then God's offer of wiping away your sin, your guilt, and your shame are there for you. And I say that to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your guilt is gone. It's been erased. I say it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your shame is gone. It has been erased. Now here's the thing, church. It's gone. It's erased. Don't go looking for it. You don't have anything to add to this act. This act of erasing, it is a gift to you. And that brings us to the third part of what Peter says. You repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped away, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we happen to be on a beautiful day today, right? This has just been a gorgeous day, but this past week has been a scorcher, right? Anybody here really love going to bed in a hot bedroom? Like you just, no, really? You just like lay awake all day and you're like, oh man, I can't wait to get up into that hot bedroom and pull those hot covers over me. And, whew, I hate a hot bedroom. I know when the bedroom is hot, I toss and I turn and I sweat and it's awful. Then you have those nights. Like my dad, he always called them good sleeping weather. And it's, the weather is nice, and perhaps you open up some windows and you feel that cool breeze come drifting through at night. And maybe you've got a fan near your bed just giving you that refreshing, or maybe it's the cold embrace of air conditioning. I mean, you think about it, you can almost feel it. I mean, every once in a while I get a breeze of the air conditioning up here, and it's wonderful. And there's almost something magical when you're hot and you step into a place where the cool air instantly surrounds you and it dries your sweaty skin and it gives you almost instant relief. And as wonderful as all of that sounds, it pales in comparison to what we're talking about with Jesus. Because that is more than we could ever put into words. Because the refreshing, it's not a refreshment, it's not a temporary thing, but this refreshing comes from us repenting and turning away, like acknowledging, you know what, God was right, and I was wrong, and I need to change. Because when we do that, our sin and our guilt and our shame are wiped away. Gone, never to be seen or heard from again. And we don't go looking for what's been erased because it's a gift to us. And then we get to sit in that refreshment with God, knowing that our stuff, the baggage we carry, the past we're ashamed of, it's gone. You know, we're told in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is also known as the Comforter. But the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, and that means breath or wind. And we may not be able to see the wind, but we can feel it. We can sense it. Right? This is our refreshing. Knowing that we are not alone, knowing that our sin, our guilt, and our shame have all been erased by the blood of Jesus. There's nothing we can do to add to it or take away from it. And so whatever battle it is that you are facing today, whatever guilt or shame you may have with you, whatever sin that has a hold of you, come and repent and turn away. Have your guilt and your shame, your sins erased forever, and experience the refreshment of the Lord. You know, sometimes the hardest part of understanding forgiveness is being able to forgive ourselves. Right? We understand that God forgives us, but we can't forget ourselves. So let's remember what we talked about last week. Don't put an and on the gospel. You beating yourself up and Jesus' death does not make you free. Jesus' death makes you free. Jesus' death wipes your sin away, brings the times of refreshment. So agree with God, right? Agree with God that your sins can be wiped out, not because of anything you have done, but because Jesus died for you, that you received it, accepted it, have taken it as your own. And everything will be wiped out, and you will experience the refreshment from the Lord. Gracious God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for providing for us and reminding us time and time again. Lord, may we heed your call. May we experience your refreshment. Jesus, we praise you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.